This morning we're going to talk about the love of God. Again, being at a point in our lives where we are currently, it's important for us to know and understand that God's love is there for us and that we have something to do with it. And then secondly, that God is a faithful God. Amen? He's a faithful God at all times. He's a faithful God when everything's just going wonderfully. He's a faithful God when everything's in the toilet. He's a faithful God through and through. So this week we're going to talk about that love of God. Next week we'll talk about that faithfulness of God. I hope you didn't choose between this week and next week and thought, "Dran, I wish I could be here next week instead." Turn to 1 John. 1 John, right near the end of the Bible. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. So that's how close to the end you are. 1 John. We're going to start in chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. I would encourage you, if you've got a bulletin or a bookmark or something that can be easily put in here, we're going to be going away from 1 John, but then coming back to it a couple of different times. So go ahead and put something right in 1 John, and we're going to come back to it a couple of different times, but you'll want to use that as a point of reference for a little bit here in the beginning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and I'll read through verse 21. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. "This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." Here in 1 John chapter 4, John talks about love, talks about love of God, talks about love for us from God, talks about our love for God and our love for others as well. Just a lot about love in there, isn't there? We're going to look at a couple of different verses. The first one is verse 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." That's the love that God has for us. He gave us his Son. Remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." That's the love that God has for us. He gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice. He gave his perfect Son to die on the cross. He loved us so much that he gave his Son to die on the cross so that we would have life. Keep a marker here in 1 John and go over to Romans chapter 5. You start at the beginning of the New Testament. You have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts and Romans. Romans chapter 5. While you're looking there, I'm going to read one more time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Now in Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Since we have now been justified by His blood," Romans 5, 9, "how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So here it talks about us being enemies with God. Why are we an enemy with God? Why had we once been an enemy with God? Because of our sin. Our sin stood between God and us. That sin was there as a barrier, a roadblock in our relationship with God. But God loved us so much, even though we had that sin in our lives, God loved us so much that He gave His Son so that barrier could come down. So that block between us and God and our relationship with Him could be done away with. Amen? That's the kind of love that God has for us. He loved us so much that He wants to have a relationship with us. That He doesn't want that barrier to be there between us and Him. So He provided a way through His perfect Son to die on the cross, to take that sin, remove that barrier in our lives with God, to take that away so that that barrier isn't there anymore. And in Romans 5, we see the word justified. That word, it's an easy one to remember, kind of the closest meaning to it. For justified, it's justified, not sinned. We're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His death. And not only are we justified, not only are we justified, but we're also saved. And not only are we saved, but we're also reconciled. That relationship with God is made whole again. We're reconciled with Him because of Jesus Christ. That all starts with God's love for us. While we were still sinners. While we were still sinners. It's the love that God had for us. So we love because God first loved us. I think there are times in our lives where we feel like, you know, I didn't have a good enough week this week. God probably doesn't love me as much this week because it was kind of a rough one. Ever have weeks like that? Just bad weeks, and you just found yourself in situations where you continue to make poor decisions. You think, man, God must be pretty upset. He must not love me like maybe he had on those weeks that I had been really good. Right? That ever cross your mind? Maybe not now, but in the past? It crosses a lot of people's minds, if not yours, then others. It's not the way God's love works. It's not that He waits for you to be good enough and then He starts loving you. It's not the way God's love works. He doesn't wait for you to be good enough and then says, okay, now you've been good enough, now I'm going to start loving you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is that what Paul says in Romans? While we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us because God loved us. And so it's not a situation where we've got to earn that love from God. It's not a situation where we have to say, you know, I've got to be really good, and if I'm not good enough, God's not going to love me. It's not the way God's love works at all. And I, for one, am very thankful about that. Amen? I am very thankful about that. God loves us. He first loved us, and He made a way through His Son. He showed us His love by giving us His Son, a way in which we could be reconciled to Him, in which we could have a whole relationship with God. And that promise is available not just to you, although I hope that you appreciate it. I hope that you're in a situation where you give praise as well, that God loved you first that He loved you while you were still a sinner. He loved you and offered His Son as a sacrifice for you. I hope that's something that brings a lot of joy to your life. But that promise isn't for you alone. You know that jerk you work with? Here I say, share these sermons, and now I talk about the jerk you work with. I don't know about that. I mean, you know that person? You know that person, and you've all got different people that fit that bill, if you will. God loves them. He loves them. And He loves them so much that He gave His Son to die on the cross for them. Because He wants to be in a whole relationship with them. And you might be thinking, you don't know this guy. God loves them so much that He gave His Son to die on the cross for them. While they were yet sinners, Christ died for them. You see, and that's the truth and the message of the love of God, that we need to be open with that guy or that lady that we know in our lives. Instead of keeping them at arm's length or avoiding them by going out of the room as soon as they come in. See, I know the tactics of that person. I know the tactics of how we deal with that person that we don't care for too much. I know how we deal with them. Rather than that, we need to be putting ourselves in a position where we're sharing that love of God with them. They don't deserve it, and neither did you. But praise the Lord, it's not based on deserving it. The love of God isn't based on deserving it. God loves them. And He loves you. And that brings great hope to my life. And the good news is that can bring great hope to their lives as well. And so instead of avoiding that evildoer, our responsibility is to share that love of God with them. Because Jesus Christ died for them. God loves them. He first loved them and gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for them. We have to have that as our mentality in life as well. We don't have to. We're allowed to choose to do that or not. We're allowed to choose to do that or not. Certainly is something that the Word encourages. And if it encourages us, and if there are times when we are commanded, the Word uses that word, commanded, to love each other, we have a responsibility in that then as well. Amen? Amen. Let's go back to 1 John. God loves us. He first loved us and gave us His Son as an atoning sacrifice. That truth is not only for us, and that love doesn't come only once, only when we've been really good, only when we've been put on the good list. That love from God had occurred while we were still sinners. And that truth isn't just for us. That truth is for all those that are around us. Even the people that we think maybe we don't care for as much. That truth is for them as well. Now in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Again, I read this already, but I'll read it again. It says, there is no fear in love. 1 John 4:18. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. There is no fear in love. Earlier this morning, again, put something here in 1 John. Melinda read Psalm chapter 23, and I want to do that again. Turn to Psalm 23. It's one that probably is very familiar to you. Even if you haven't grown up in the church, there are enough funerals that include Psalm 23 in the reading that many people have been exposed to the words of Psalm 23. It's says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. That's what we found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Psalm 23, verse 1, it's a psalm of David, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here we find in verse 4, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. This psalm talks about God being with us and providing for us. God being with us and meeting the needs that we have, knowing our needs perfectly, and being there through thick and thin. You ever been through thick and thin before? One was a lot more pleasant than the other, wasn't it? Thick and thin. You ever walk out in the woods? Anybody ever take a walk in the woods? You probably started out someplace that wasn't woody, right? You probably started, you probably didn't just parachute into the midst of a deep woods. You probably started out in some place that wasn't as wooded. Right? That makes good sense. And you walk through, and at first it's not too bad, you know. And especially if you're in a field, like a cornfield in the fall. You know, if you've ever been hunting, a lot of times you'll walk through a cornfield in the fall, and you walk through and it's not really that bad at all. Because it's just broken down corn branches and there's good rows to walk through. Easy as pie. You get to the woods and pie's easy. You get to the woods and you start walking through it and usually in my experiences, even in the beginning of the woods, it's really not that bad. And then you get going deeper into it and the trees seem to be getting sometimes closer together. Not the real big ones, but the smaller ones. They get a little closer together, and so you've got these branches for these trees that aren't only as tall as you are, that are hitting you in the face and whatnot. And then you've got thorns and thistles and stuff that are in the way, and you've got a lot of times I end up walking like this if you're in the really thick woods. Anybody been in woods like that before? Maybe your thick woods weren't like that. That's my thick wood experience. You know, life is sometimes like that, right? Sometimes the walking's easy. You got a path or a trail, and it's pretty nice. And other times you're walking backwards because you don't want the stuff in your eyes. I've done that before in the deep woods. In the deep woods, I haven't even really been in deep woods. Let's be honest. But in the deepest woods I've been in before, I've even walked backwards before going through. You know, if I see a place, it's like, well, I want to be right on the other side of that. And there's tree branches and whatnot. I'll just walk through backwards and usually close my eyes until I get out because I don't want to get poked in the eye again. So inevitably, I have already. I mean, life's kind of like that. You know, sometimes the trail is pretty easy and it's easily marked and you know where you're going. It's not very hard at all. And other times, it's tough. And Psalm 23 talks about that. Talks about no matter what we go through, God's going to be there for us. His rod and His staff, they're there for us. They're going to protect us. We don't have to fear evil. We don't have to have fear in our lives. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear shouldn't be a part of our lives because we know that we have a God who's going to watch over us, who's going to protect us, and who's going to provide for the needs that we have. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is going to provide for the things in our lives that we need. He's going to be there for us. And that's the promise of that psalm. No matter what we face and what we go through, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual, the Lord is going to be there. Our responsibility is to put our hope and our trust in Him. Our responsibility is to say, I'm not going to fear I'm going to fear whatever this thing is that's there. Whether it's tomorrow or something that's happened in our lives, I'm not going to fear it because God loves me and He's going to be there for me. His rod and His staff, they're going to protect me. Amen? He's going to prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He's going to provide for the needs that I have in my life because God loves me. Amen? Amen. Perfect love casts out fear. It drives out that fear. God loves us, and so we don't need to fear what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't need to fear what January is going to bring. We don't need to fear what next year is going to bring. Because our God is there for us. He loves us. Let's go back to 1 John. I hope you kept something in there. 1 John chapter 4. If you saw my notes on this one, you'd think I'm really disjointed. You might think that anyway. But if you saw my notes say 1 John 4, 12, 16b through 17a. Sounds like a mess, doesn't it? Well, let's look at them one at a time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us." His love is made complete in us. Remember that phrase. Okay? His love is made complete in us. Verse 16 says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and He in us." Oh, and God in Him. "In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like Him." See, again, we find in this way, love is made complete among us. See that? If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. See, here's the thing about love. You know how much God loves you? I mean, do you kind of have a grasp on that? Some are saying no, and that's an okay answer. I'll take that answer. Because to fully comprehend the love that God has for us doesn't make a whole lot of sense by my logic. You know that? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense by that. Again, because I base love on, well, if I do this, then He's going to love me. And that's the way that my logic sometimes works, and that's not the way that God's love works. And He loves me far beyond what I'm able to compare it to. He loves me beyond those things. But we kind of have a grasp. We kind of have at least some understanding that indeed God loves us. Correct? Indeed God loves us. Well, that love that God has for you, it isn't meant for you to simply keep yourself. Chew on that for a second. That love that God has for you, which to a point you can understand, but even is beyond fully what maybe you're able to comprehend. That love that God has for you, the ultimate goal of it isn't for you to be loved by God. Because God's love is made complete when we love others and in that live in God. Isn't that what verse 12 says of 1 John chapter 4? I'll read it again. "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us." So God's love isn't only for me to stand with my arms stretched out and say, "God, lay it on me. Give me all you got, and I'll take it." It isn't for me to then put my arms around it and hold right here and say, "I've got God's love." We find great hope and comfort and strength in God's love, don't we? That's true. That's good. It's good to find great hope and strength and power and comfort and leadership from God in His love. Those are good things to have. But that's not where it stops. That's not what the desired outcome is of God's love in your life. The desired outcome of God's love isn't so that you can hold your arms out and maybe get the biggest bowl that you have. You ever see one of those vats of bowls made by Tupperware? They're the big bowls. You fill that thing up with popcorn, you've got like either one really good night's eating of popcorn or a couple of days worth of popcorn if you fill it all the way to the top. Okay, those vats of bowls are really big. The goal of God's love isn't so that you can hold that love in the biggest container that you can find and say, ah, I've got God's love, here it is. I'm going to open it and taste it and live in it. Oh, this is so nice. God's goal for love is that you would receive that love that God gives to you and use it to love others. Correct? Am I making that up?
No.
I'm not making it up. 1 John 4:12. The goal of God's love isn't only for you to receive blessing. You do receive great blessing and encouragement and strength from God's love. You do. You receive that. That's good. But you giving God's love away, you displaying that love, you using that love to bless other people, isn't going to diminish the love that God has for you. It's not that you've got, you know, your hands full of quarters and as you give them away, you get less. That's not the way God's love works. God loves you and the goal of it is for you to give that away. The goal of it isn't exclusively for you to be loved and be blessed by that, but it's also for you to give that away, to display that love, to show God's love to other people. Amen? We got some loving to do then, because God loves me a lot. Right? Isn't that the case? God loves us, and I think we even agreed, God loves me to the point that I can't even always put words to it or fully comprehend it. If that's the case, we got a lot of loving to do. Because the ultimate goal isn't only for you to be blessed, it's for you to share that love and give that love to love one another. And God's love is made complete in that because that's the goal. That's the desire that God has. It's to bless you and to give you strength and to give to you and for you to be loved by Him. But it's also for you then to make that love complete by allowing that love to come and sharing that with other people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amish friendship bread. I bet you didn't think we'd be going there this morning, did you? You know what Amish friendship bread is? I don't. Like, I really don't have a real strong feel of it. I'm sure probably 35 of you could explain Amish friendship bread much better than I could. It tastes good. I like it. It's good. That's my understanding of it, is you get some bag of goo, thank you, yellow stuff that apparently has milk in it and it has been around for like 100 years or something. Some long period of time, and it doesn't make sense to me you open the bag and you mush the bag and you spank the bag and you do all these things with this bag of goo that you have, and after 100 days or 6 days or however long it is, you put some more stuff in and screw around with it, and you end up with a loaf of bread and like four more of these bags. And is that about right? Am I pretty close? Something like that. I mean, we're kind of in the right vein, right? I mean, that's kind of what happens with a friendship bread. So the goal isn't for you to have a loaf of bread. It's good bread, right? You like having that loaf that you got. So much so, maybe you use the second bag yourself, you know, one of the other bags yourself, and make another loaf out of it. But the goal is for you then to share this friendship bread with 3 or 4 or 8 or however many other bags you have, to be able to share this with them. See where I'm going here? The goal of friendship bread is for you to be able to bless other people at the same time you're being blessed by this great bread. The goal of God's love is for you to be able to share His love with others at the same time you're being blessed greatly by God's love. See that connection? The desire, though, isn't for you to keep all the bread. You're not intended to be the final recipient of all the bread. Same is true of God's love. You're not intended to be the final recipient of all God's love. Your goal and mindset ought to be, praise the Lord for this love, and I'm going to share it with others. Praise the Lord for this love, and I am going to bless other people with God's love. I'm not the manufacturer of it. I'm not the one that started this whole process. I'm just one of the links in between. And I share this love of God with others. We're able to do that in a lot of different ways. Remember, as we look through Psalm 23, we found the Lord being there for us. Remember, that's what Psalm 23, God is there for us and He's meeting our needs. And that's the way that God loves us. That's also the way we're able to share His love with other people as well. To be there for them and to meet the needs that they have in their lives. Physical needs, emotional needs, ultimately spiritual needs in Jesus Christ. That's what we're able to do with the love that God has for us. Just as He meets our needs and He's there for us. So we're to share that love that He has for us with those people around us. Not just the jerk we talked about earlier. Not just that person. But including that person. Including others around us. The other people that we work with and get along well with. People here at the church, our relatives, our friends, to be sharing that love that God has for us, to be displaying that and sharing that with other people. As Psalm 23 promises God's presence there with us in times of goodness and difficulty and thick and thin, if you will, so we ought to be there for other people around us. Displaying that love that doesn't start with us, but it comes from God. Sharing that love with other people as well. Rejoicing when they rejoice. Mourning when they mourn. Being with them and being there. Being present in their lives. Having that presence there in their lives. And helping them through life. Helping them in ways that we know that we can. Go to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 3. It says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. There's that phrase again about God's love being made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to be in Him must walk as Jesus did. Ultimately, Jesus is that ultimate example of receiving God's love and displaying it then in the lives of other people. He was there. He was there. Lazarus dies. Jesus goes and He is there with Mary and Martha. When difficulty came up, He was there. As Peter comes out and walks on the water, and starts to sink, Christ is there. He's there present in the lives of the people around Him and meeting the needs that they have in their lives. We're able to do that. Christ has set us an awesome example. He set us an awesome example of receiving God's love and then sharing that with others. Ultimately, Jesus Christ shared God's love with you by going to the cross for you. That's a way that Christ ultimately displayed the love that he had, the love that came from God to him and sharing that with others. But each day of his life, he showed that same sacrifice, though maybe not to the extreme of literally dying, he showed that same sacrifice that we're called to. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He showed that sacrifice each day of his life. And the accounts that we have of him relating with other people, being there for them, meeting the needs that they have. We have an opportunity as believers to share that love that God has for us with others. Because that same love that God has for us, he has for them as well. And so don't attempt to be the last, the final destination of God's love. Don't put yourself in a position where you think that you're the final destination of God's love. Just pour it on, God, I can take it. But rather realizing the great blessing that you receive through God's love for you and sharing that with other people as well. Being there for them in their times of difficulty, which we're finding more and more, seemingly more and more difficulty around us each and every day. Being there for them and providing ultimately for their spiritual needs. Ultimately bringing that reconciliation between them and God through Jesus Christ. But meeting physical needs when the Lord gives opportunity for you to do that. Meeting relational needs maybe that they have as the Lord provides them for you. Being there for them and meeting their needs is the way that God's love is made complete through you and to them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Great God, we thank you so much for your love. God, you have been wonderful to us. And that love that you have in which you sacrificed your Son for us is certainly difficult to fathom, more difficult to put into words. God, help us to not be selfish with your love. Father, open our eyes to opportunities that we have of completing your love by loving others around us. Father, show us very clearly how we're able to do that. We offer ourselves to you and open ourselves to your direction in those areas, God. We thank you for your love. We praise you for your Son. We thank you for that whole relationship that we're able to have with you through him. God, we love you. We offer ourselves to you in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.